Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Macroaggressions, where I argue with people that may or may not be real. But it's fun. If you are interested in getting out of the cold and into the sun in the first week of February, from February 6th through the 10th, 2023, you can go to Anarcapulco, if you'd like, in Acapulco, Mexico, the largest anarchist convention in the world. It's going to be fantastic. I'll be speaking there. Come on by, say hi to me. Jeff Berwick will be there. He runs the joint. You'll find Max Egan, Larkin Rose, David Icke, Ron Paul, Dan Dix, Del Bigtree, Mark Passio, Andrew Kaufman, Carrie Madej, Miriam Hanane, all kinds of things going on there. All the crypto guys will be there. They'll have a crypto stage talking about, I would assume, scams, what to watch out for. There's a health and wellness component to it that's amazing. There's an unschooling, homeschooling part to it. If you have kids, you can bring your kids because there's a kids camp there. Make a vacation out of it. I don't know. Maybe you can write it off your taxes. It's educational, right? I don't know. Not licensed to give tax advice. But if you're interested, anarcapulco.com is the place to go. And if you use the promo code macro, you'll save yourself some money. The link will be in the description for that. I don't expect anybody to know how to spell Anarcapulco on the first try. Thanks to our newest sponsor, Legal Shield. They have been fantastic, and I'm really glad we found them. My only regret is that I didn't come across them sooner, but thank you to Tony Arterburn. He's been with them for over 20 years, and he turned me on to them. What it is basically the collective financing of all of us directed towards law professionals in our area. You're going to get access to high-powered attorneys for a very, very reasonable price. Talking about $1 a day, $30 a month. We'll get you access to an attorney in your area. These attorneys are not straight out of law school. These attorneys, on average, have 22 years of experience. This company, Legal Shield, has been around for 50 years. They have an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau, and they're available in the United States and Canada. So I asked the very simple question, when was the last time you updated your will? If the answer is, it's been a while, or I don't have a will, well, look, you got to get that stuff squared away. It's no fun. Nobody wants to spend money on it. Nobody wants to think about that, but you got to have it. So get yourself a will. Get yourself a financial power of attorney. Get yourself a medical power of attorney. After what we saw for the 2 years of COVID, you don't want to leave it up to somebody else to pull the plug on you or put you on a ventilator. So get that stuff taken care of. And I suggest you sign up, or I suggest you take a look at the website, actually, and see if it's right for you. If it is, pull the trigger, sign up, and then immediately book yourself in to or the consultation with your attorney and tell them that you want to get this document taken care of. It'll pay itself off for 10 years just by doing this one thing. But on top of the legal plan, they also have ID Shield. That's great for credit monitoring, reputation management, and password management as well. You have the small business plan. If you run a small business and you need some legal representation, take a look at that. If you're a gun owner, they also have some paperwork to help you with your gun ownership. So look, there's a lot of things going on out there. If you're reading, if someone's sending you legal contracts to sign, you and I are unqualified. You've got to send it to an attorney. A lot of times the words that we think mean one thing mean something different. Send it to your attorney. Rich people don't sign anything until their attorney looks at it. You should do the same thing. You're going to have access to it for a dollar a day. You might as well get your money's worth. So the website that we built is www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. I wanted that domain specifically because I don't like the idea of us getting pushed around by people that have access to attorneys. Well, listen, we've just leveled the playing field and we've done it at a reasonable price. So take a look at the website, see if it's right for you. If it is, pull the trigger. If not, that's cool. At least it's a resource if you need it in the future. And also, thanks to our longtime sponsor, Chemical Free Body, and Tim James, the owner. They are making fantastic vitamins and supplements in an industry that is known for being very scammy. They stand out. They back their products with a double your money back guarantee. If you are unhappy, talk to Tim. He'll make it right. But I say, get yourself some Green 85. You drink it up, add a scoop to 12 ounces of water, stir it up, drink it in the morning. You'll be good to go. If you're interested in the detox in a box package, that's gut detox, toxin detox, probiotics, ultra enzymes, and Green 85. Take those every morning, just a couple capsules, take it with some water, slam a Green 85, and you are good to go. I went through the program over 90 days. I lost almost 10% of my body weight, and I wasn't even trying to do that. So look, some results may vary. That's what I saw. You may see something else, but it was a wake-up call to me. I had to go out and buy new shorts after that. So if you're interested, go to chemicalfreebody.com. See if there's anything you like. Use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself some money. And make 2023 the year that you finally take control of your own health. If you're sitting around waiting for somebody else to get healthy for you, you will be sitting around and waiting for a very long time. Now that the business is out of the way, I get to talk to one of my favorite people in the world. He is the host, the co-host of WTAF. He is the producer of The Walk with Gareth Icke. He is a documentary filmmaker. I would suggest you go see Prime for Panic, Lockdown 2020. Of course, I'm talking about the great Rich Willett. Hello, Rich. What's going on? How are you?
Thank you. That was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
You get, I appreciate that. I like to make it clear that when you said you had to go buy some new shorts, it was because you've lost weight, not shit yourself. Which
That's
is,
true.
We have to clear these things up.
We leave that to our president.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't know. He thinks someone else shitted.
Well, he shit in my pants. That was a real alarming thing. That was the worst part of this whole thing.
He's the president. He can do what he wants. Although,
talk about a surprise.
That's what you talk about.
Shit in my pants. you guys have your own problems over there. I mean, listen, leave our drunk, brain dead, pants shitting president alone. You guys have royalty over there.
We have our own. Exactly. We have our own. Yeah.
God damn, what is going on? There's apparently a couple of them are trying to break away. What happens when Meghan and Harry actually break away from the family? I did that Tower of London tour in 2019 when I was in London, and they talk about King Henry, I guess. So he had six wives, and they talk about remember which ones were executed and which ones were divorced. So do they just execute Harry and Meghan, or do they let them go to Southern California?
They don't think they could do that anymore. I think they can get away with that. Although they did it to Diana, so I suppose they could do
That's true.
Yeah, they did it to Diana, which was Harry's mum, of course. It's all optics, isn't it? It's nonsense. Netflix, as we know, is a kind of the founder of Netflix, and name escapes me now. I want to say Randolph something. Mark Randolph.
Reed. His great Hastings?
Reed Hastings was one of them. Mark Randolph was the other. Mark Randolph's great-great-granddads were Sigmund Freud and Edward Bernays.
Wait, what?
Not even joking. So this system that is built, and I'm not saying initially that was the case, but clearly this is a mind control, like information intel kind of system, putting stuff out there, washed down. So you watch things like the Harry and Meghan thing. There's a reason why that's out there. I watched the Vatican child last night. I think it's the Vatican girl. Fascinating documentary, but you know, they're putting out buffers there. Nothing's as it seems. And Netflix is a mind control, social engineering tool, really. And that just goes to show the relations for the families are always there. So that's to Edward Bernays and, Sigmund Freud were related, and they related to Mark Randolph as well.
I knew that Great British Bake Off show on Netflix was subconsciously programming me to make
That's a way of just smuggling cocaine through the baking soda. That's all they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah. Well, I mean, you learn something new every day. Yeah. But you guys have, but Harry and Meghan has been a tremendous treat for me to watch this go out on Netflix, and then watch Piers Morgan come completely unglued at this fact. And then you are in the peanut gallery, just relentlessly tormenting this bastard. And I love it. It's fantastic to watch. Nothing gets under his skin quite like these two. What is his relationship?
He will be, I mean, obviously, the way he is, you don't get that high up in the media here or anywhere unless you're going to push the official story of everything. And there's lots of layers, I believe, to this, but he will be intel. I completely believe that he would be intelligence of some sort along the line.
Don't you have to be intelligent to be an intelligence?
Oh, absolutely not. Depends how much you've been used. No. He's, you don't have to be stupid, but you do not have to, you can be easily drop your morals and values, and he's been doing that for many, many years, many, many decades. He's probably in up to his neck, and he just has to say now whatever he's told to say. He's been told to go on the British Royals side, our British Royals side, and not the bare British Royals side, and he's stirring up the pot, and it's just divide and conquer. Prince Harry is clearly a high level Freemason. That's known. It's not even here. He stands there with his hand in there all the time. Meghan Markle, she will be, they're blaming it on her. But you tell me some young girl she does have blood lineage to these people as well. And I can't remember what it is, but there is blood lineage. There always is for these people. But she might be his handler, but I doubt it. I mean, he's a British royal. And we were going to talk about today about the Virginia Company and how the corporation and how it still runs the America, the USA, how it still does today and always has done. It just went into the background during the War of Independence. But he's one of the British royal families. He's one of the Saxon Coburn Gothas, House of Hesse. You're not going to tell me that she's telling him what to do. She might think she is, but he also clearly isn't full blood of the royals. No. Clearly, he is a half blood prince in the real world. He is the half blood prince. And that's all of these symbology things are there on purpose. He's a half blood prince. Now, look back to Cain and Abel. What happened there? Cain was half blood. He was human and whatever you call it, Anunnaki. And Abel was the full blood. Well, Cain killed Abel, obviously. And then we got Seth, which was their second child. So we're meant to be the bloodline thing. He was something that they really, really concentrate on.
Yeah.
So there's no coincidence that Prince William is full Merovingian blood. And so was, and that comes from Diana. And I don't think Charles is his dad either. I think his dad is someone from another European bloodline family. But Harry is clearly not of the complete same blood of them, and he will know that. That's why it's called spare. So there is infighting, but I see this all as optics, and this is all just a one big game. They might be going over to try and take over. So just the Virginia Corporation is still alive. So these are corporations. So think of them as corporations. So maybe he's going to become the manager of that corporation at some point in his life. And then his brother might be the manager of this corporation that owns that corporation. These are corporations that are run down the line through the City of London. And it has always been that way for a very, very long time, going back to the Roman Empire and pre that, going back to Babylon and Mesopotamia. Same bloodlines, same corporations, different names. It's rebranded. And that's what people don't get. This yeah. goes back thousands and thousands, 6,000 years, 8,000 possibly, and probably well beyond anything I know.
It's funny because here in the States, we don't, you know, we go, oh, the bloodlines, you know, like we're very dismissive of that. And we think it's kind of hokey. And I mean, maybe it's like, oh, well, I'll find an ancestry.com that I'm, you know, 1/256th Norwegian or something, you know, and something interesting. So, but to us, it doesn't matter. The thing is, it doesn't matter if it doesn't matter to us because it definitely matters to them. And they have they are insane about the bloodlines and the blue bloods. And we hear these terms and the royal bloodline and all this stuff that easy to kind of be dismissive of it as like hocus pocus, but it matters to them. And therefore it needs to kind of matter to us. At least we need to keep an eye on it because they're obsessive with it. And I guess if you're in charge of protecting something that's been protected for thousands of years, you sort of need to be. So I don't think any of these marriages are as authentic or organic as we are led to believe. I don't think that, you know, the Charles and Diana thing, a case can always be made that the woman would want to marry the prince because he's the prince, and we've watched enough Disney movies and we know what's going on there. So we can make that case, of course, but why would Charles pick?
Well, the case doesn't stand up to scrutiny when you realize that Princess Diana, or Diana Spencer, I believe her original name was, she was born on the Sandringham Estate. She was raised on the Sandringham Estate in Norfolk, where I live. I don't live on the estate, by the way. This blatantly isn't the Sandringham Estate, but it's in the same area. So she was raised to breed. She was a breeder. We know this happens. We happens that John of God was doing it all over the place with Oprah. We know these farms happen. She was raised for her bloodline, the Spencer bloodline, to shore up the bloodline of William, their firstborn. Now, if you go back and look at pictures of Prince William when he was first born, he was brought out. They do that whole step out and show the baby to the world. Diana was wearing the exact same, pretty much a replica of the Rosemary baby dress, red with the white shawl around the top. What is a Rosemary's baby? It's the devil's child. So imagine that. But even more weird is if you think this is just coincidence, okay, well, then Kate Middleton, when she comes out with George, she's wearing exactly the same dress. Not as Diana, as the Rosemary's Baby dress. They are all similar. They're red with a white trim. This is because that's what they believe, the bloodline. They believe that this child is either the second coming or it's the Antichrist, this sort of thing. They believe this stuff. They live this stuff. They're born into this stuff. And you can't blame people like Harry. You can't blame William because they're born into it. They're born into this world. It's like being born into a cult. Well, it is a cult. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. It goes back thousands of years. Have a look. The symbology is absolutely everywhere, all over the British royals. And the British royals are answering to the Vatican quite clearly. And I think it's the Queen's got to bow to the Pope. And you've got the Church of England, which was King Henry VIII wanted to go. And I think it was Henry VIII. One of the kings had wanted to go and marry someone else. And he couldn't get a divorce. So he just created his own church and got married in it, which was the Church of England. So you've got the Church of England, and obviously you've got the Catholic Church, the Vatican. The Vatican stands over the top of the British royals at the moment, but it's all intermingled. But that goes beyond the Vatican as well, for places that I don't actually know myself. But you've got these European black nobility bloodlines. And when it comes to America, again, as we were saying earlier, it was the Virginia Corporation. It was run through the City of London. It's owned by the City of London. It still is today. The War of Independence was funded from both sides to the Freemasons. We know that I think it's 50 out of 56 people that signed the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. So you've got Freemasons from both sides, high level, creating this like they always do, control both sides. The British were supposed to lose that because they wanted to retreat into the background. So then now what you've got is someone like Biden, who is a senile corporate manager. He's a shop floor manager.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what he's doing. He's put in there by the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers always put him in, but they're doing what the Rothschilds tell him to do. And Rothschilds are doing what the other bloodlines tell him to do. And he goes up and up and up. But nothing is independent. And when you look at this, you're looking, what fascinates me more than anything with all this stuff is that we're trying to stop something that's happened thousands of years ago. There is already a one world government. There is already a one world order, and there already is a one world corporation, but it fights amongst itself and it can't do it out in the open. And that's what it's trying to do right now. It's trying to come back out of the shadows into the open to rule out in the open, just like it used to, like the British, like the European bloodlines used to, like the good old days. Like the good old days. It wants to come out and just stamp its authority. It had to disappear for a while because there was too many people. People weren't buying it. And they know that it has to change after time. So what we're seeing with the Great Reset, is then they're trying to creep out of the shadows. That's all they're trying to do. And implement a technocracy version of how they want to do it. So obviously the implementation will be current now. But the actual corporation that's doing it, this one world cult, is the same as it's always been for thousands and thousands of years. I don't know what happened before 8,000 years. You go back pre-Bible, and I'm not saying the Bible is clearly a bunch of allegories stuck together and mismatched and all sorts. And then you look at all the fables in there. I mean, did we have an Atlantis? Did we have a Lemuria? And was that brought down? Or were these the same bloodlines and fighting amongst each other? I would say there's a good possibility, but yes. But even then, that's still only a portion of the way I look at it. Is just a book in a library that we're in chapter 6 of. And we zoom out of the book and we find out there's another 600 chapters. And then we zoom out of the book and we realize that we're one book in a massive library. And then we walk outside the library and realize this whole city worth of libraries.
Yeah.
Like we are in a tiny, tiny blip of what's actually going on. And it's fascinating. But if you don't kind of like start to zoom out like that, you kind of get stuck in the dirt. And we all do, like in these little things.
Yeah.
And that's what they try and do with the Meghan and Harry stuff. Get you involved in the silly shit. And I find it really funny because it is funny. And it is funny. And, you know, they're rich beyond anyone else's wildest dreams. They're not, they've lived a life of luxury, but so have the other ones. And so is Piers Morgan. I mean, they all are.
Yeah. Piers Morgan's in no position to complain about privilege or getting paid a lot of money for doing nothing or, you know, being told what to say. He's been doing that his whole life. When he's not breaking into the voicemail of victims' telephone calls
being that was
reprehensible piece of shit like he always is.
And he forgets about that. And that was, who was the girl? I forgot the game now. What's the
Some girl got girl? Like murdered and he wound was, up yeah, having access in to her cell phone voicemail account and they listened to the messages before the parents had a chance to. This happened a while ago, but I mean, it's like, I guess people can look that up for themselves, but it's just like in the, why do you hate Piers Morgan category? It's like, he's done a lot of awful shit. He's a reprehensible scumbag. So it's funny to me to watch him like blow a gasket, because I can't tell whether he's contractually obligated to blow a gasket because he works for them, or if he actually feels this way as well, which might be, I don't know if Piers Morgan has human feelings though.
It's hard to know whether he actually believes his own shit or he has to believe, or he's come to the survival instincts of kind of have to build this mythology in his own head. You know, you don't know, you're never going to know what's going on in someone else's head. You don't know someone else's intention, and you never will. You never will. That's what trust comes from. But I mean, he's the stuff that he's done through the years, even the last 2 years of pushing the jabs on all of these kids and everyone, and then flipping at the end and saying, well, it's because the information's changed. No, the information hasn't changed, mate. Your direction has been changed and you haven't got away with it. So we've fended off a massive part of their scam the last couple of years. Huge part. They played one of the biggest cards they've got, and they won't get away with that again, not in our lifetime. They're trying their whole climate nonsense now, and that's fallen on its face. That's just funny. But yeah, they've played their biggest card. I mean, the only other one is aliens, and I'm looking forward to that, and I know you are.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm still appreciative of the climate rebellion or extinction rebellion or whatever. The people who are the people in your country that are pouring the milk out at the grocery stores.
I think it's hard to know. Just stop oil, I think. Just Stop Oil keeps sitting in the roads, which is funny. It keeps sitting in the roads and gluing themselves to shit, which is brilliant. Gluing themselves to apparently ridiculously expensive paintings. Of course, they're not the real paintings. It's totally ridiculous. But they think that's how dumb they think people are. They really think people are that dumb. It's performance art. Literally, it's performance art. There are a bunch of scruffy kids that are not scruffy kids. They're all probably middle class and they'll dress that way to play a character. Yeah. It's part of a George Soros thing. And it's nonsense. So that's Just Stop Oil. It might be Extinction Rebellion are putting the milk out. They've got they're offshoots now all over the place, but it's just funny. And you have to think, it's so poor that are they purposely ruining it? Making it look stupid? Because I get the same feeling with Biden. Like, are you putting your biggest idiots in there to try and collapse the country on purpose? Mm-hmm. The people go, he's an absolute idiot. Well, yeah, of course, but that's why they want him in there. Well, he's not even an idiot. He's a senile idiot now. He was an idiot before. And they did that during, as I say, the War of Independence. They put stupid people in there because they know they can tear them down. Stupid and corruptible people. The problem with doing that is they're stupid and corruptible. So when they come to try and do the task that they're supposed to do, they often cock it up because they're stupid. So you can't use stupid people to do something you need them to do well. And stupid people, only stupid people would do that, or corruptible people. So it's like the tools they've got in their toolbox, this cult, are stupid or corruptible people.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the greatest.
Not the best and brightest. Not if you want to get something done. Not if you need somebody that has, that's high level. You're going to have problems. Well, let me tell you, when I was in Philadelphia earlier this year, I went to the Revolutionary Museum and I got a chance to see all of this stuff, right? But one of the things they didn't mention in there, they didn't mention the Virginia Company or Virginia Corporation or whatever. They didn't mention that at all. But you have talked about it before. And this is a topic that I know jack shit about, but it's really interesting because I want to know more about it. And I know that, and I'm not trying to set you up as the expert on all of this. But you've talked about this before, and I'm curious about this. This is because when you think about it, it really makes sense, because we know that whatever we see on the surface isn't really, isn't how it actually runs. We do know that, we've had the Dutch East Asia or East India Company, right? That ran the world. And that was sort of like an overt corporate empire. And then that went away. And then you understand we've got issues with old timey maritime law, all that, all the language that comes with that. We've got The Spider's Web, a great documentary you probably have seen on the British banking empire, or the offshore banking empire. So we understand that there's a lot of things that you can do with corporate shells and offshore banking and the like, and you can sort of hide ownership through this Russian nesting doll type, corporations inside of corporations inside of corporations, mm-hmm. That are offshore and things like that. So it is not it's not totally unbelievable for me to hear that the United States of America is owned by a foreign corporation. I just need to understand as much as I can how it all works. I'm not surprised by it at all, but I just want to know.
It always was. So it always was. Christopher Columbus, his real name is Colon. He wasn't the first to discover the North America at all. Thousands
Graham
years
Hancock
before that.
Graham Hancock was the first to discover Graham Hancock discovered North America 11,000 years ago. No, wait.
Yeah. There's people way before him. There's in the 1400s, I don't know if you've heard of this, the Roslyn Chapel that was built between, I think it was built in the 1490s or 1440s. It was built in and finished in the 1480s. Well, Christopher Columbus didn't apparently discover America till the 1490s, but there is there's some symbology on there. There's some sweet corn and cacti on there, which wasn't found until Columbus apparently founded America or found America. But that was built in about 15 years, finished 15 years before he even set sail. So how did they know these things even existed? The Prince Henry of Sinclair, he traveled to America. He was detailed in a book in 13... 98. So he wasn't the first. Christopher Columbus did not discover the Americas. He was a part of all this thing. He's one of his, one of Prince Henry's. So one of Prince Henry's captains, who was a Knight of Christ, was the father, in-law of Christopher Columbus. So they're all attached. This was just another gimmick. He didn't find this place. This place was found well before. There was a, someone went over, and I forget the name of the guy, Hernando Cortez. Remember that name, Cortez? Mm-hmm. Rings a bell right now. Yes. Spanish, he went over to Central America, and he pretended to be Quetzalcoatl, which were, they were waiting. I think it was the 1500s. They were waiting. One of their, the African the tribes there, one of their things was Quetzalcoatl would come back in the 1500s. So he just found, because this was the cult that goes way back, he knew the date they were waiting for, and he came over and he dressed as him and pretended to be him. And it's like, this goes back so far that these, all of these legends go, they're seeded out through Mesopotamia out to these different places. This is totally ridiculous to say that, that Columbus discovered America. He didn't even in the slightest bit. So that was the British crown. That was the Knights of Christ, Knights Templar, Knights of Malta, that sort of level, which is run from the City of London. It's not the it's not London. It's right. Not England. It's City of London. So you're not talking about the English. No. You're not talking about the British. Even our royals are House of Hesse, I believe. Saxon, Coburn, Gotha, they're German and Hungarian, I believe. So you're not talking about the English. So people are offended to think of the English one. It's not that at all. What I'm saying is they run it, this corporation. They always said the sun never set on the British Empire. It didn't, and it still doesn't. But it's an empire. So it's not a people. It's not a race. It's not a country. It's a corporation. The sun never sets on the British corporation. But it's just Britannia. Britannia is another version of Semiramis and Isis. It's another version of the Virgin Mary or the Virgin God. It's all Virgin God symbology. So it just goes, there's so many details you could go through. So that's basically what it is. So England started out, like London started out as Londonia. It was New Troy originally. So you go from Mesopotamia, you went all the way over to the Roman Empire. Roman Empire collapsed, but it didn't collapse. They went back into hiding like they're doing that. They did with America, back into hiding. They reappeared in, I think it was Scotland, France, and they went down to, I think Portugal's got something to do with it as well. They went down to London, which became New Troy, and then became Londonia, and then London, and Babylondon.
And didn't the Roman wall end there?
Could have done. That's not, that's something I don't know, but it sounded, but I wouldn't be surprised. So it's the same cult that's moved down. So then you've got the City of London, all of these Freemasonic things going on. You know, the Temple Bar, it's Knights Templar, it's all there. All the legal system is run through the Temple Bar. The Grand Lodge is in Queen Street, I believe, in London. And that's the main lodge of Freemasonry, that and the Scottish one, Scottish Rite. And that's all run through the British camp, British royal families.
You can tell when you get into the City of London, like as opposed to London itself. And for those that don't, it's like the Vatican, Washington, D.C., City of London, these sort of city states, like they're unto themselves. And when you get in there, I did the tour, super touristy thing where you get on the double-decker bus, but sure. I got up in the top part. And you could tell when you got into this, I wasn't listening to the headphones. They give you like little headphones and the guy explains it. But I didn't have them on. I was just kind of sitting there. It's kind of and looking at everything. And I said to my wife, we're in the City of London, right? She's like, she's got the headphones. She takes mine. She goes, yeah, City of London, City of London. I go, I could tell because there's dragon statues everywhere.
Dragons was like, everywhere, yeah.
Dragons, you know, like obviously lizard symbology, but the dragon, I always said, well, the dragons are protecting the gold, right? I mean, we're in the financial district here. And doesn't the queen have to like ask permission to come in, or do they some ceremonial thing once a year where she has to go ask the mayor of the City of London for permission for something? There's some risk.
Something along that line, yeah. The mayor's above the queen. It's a sovereign state in itself, and it's guarded by the Knights Templar or the Knights. So you've got the dragons everywhere, that symbology of the Knights of St. George, and then you've got the fire cross, which is the white background with the red cross, which is St. George cross, which is obviously on the football shirts and everything like that. Yeah. People don't really understand what that actually means, but it's the Knights Templar. That's exactly what it was. It was the Knights of Malta or an offshoot of that. But the Knights Templar are still running the show. You watch the royals, watch the Queen's funeral. They've all got Knights Templar logos here, or whatever you call it, emblems, and a Knights of Malta one as well. It's really? Still there today, that it hasn't gone away, not in the slightest bit. So, and this is Freemasonic. So the Knights Templar were the original Freemasons. And I know there's a whole thing out there saying that they were builders and that, like, actually, that's kind of, from what I can understand, that's not completely true. It doesn't come from Masons. It was supposed to be Masons, and they apparently built out and ended up having lawyers in because some money got stolen. But that doesn't seem to be true either. It seems to be, it was always the Knights Templar were about protecting, or going over and finding what's in Solomon's Temple, basically, and bringing it back. If there was a Solomon's Temple on Temple Mount, which I don't honestly believe there actually ever was. But it all goes back to that. So when you're looking at all this stuff, so come back to the US. So basically, they colonized it. They said Chris Columbus didn't. They didn't. So the first state, and I'm trying to look at my notes here because it's such a vast thing. So the lands of the Virginia Company were granted to the colonies under the Deed of Trust Act, which is a lease. So that was the original. The Deed of Trust Act, it was a lease. So do you remember what Carl Schwab's saying, apparently, at the moment, although he didn't say it himself? You will own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, mm-hmm. It's always been the case. You already own nothing. You already lease everything. And it's put in the name of your corporation, which is your birth certificate. So that's where you come down to the corporate admiral law and corporate law and common law, and that's where it all gets confusing.
Name is spelled on your birth certificate in all capital letters, like
that's it. Yeah, it's a corporation. Yeah, so you're basically putting things under your corporation. You are not your corporation. So your courts over there, your criminal courts are admiral law, and your civil courts are common law. They're run under different laws. So your criminal courts, you'll notice on the flag, it's got a gold trim around the edges. So if you have a look at that, they're run in different, completely different types of laws. So civil law and criminal law. I'm sorry, your civil courts and your criminal courts are different. They run different laws. So we're not talking about the government here in London at all. Obviously, they've basically just puppets. So let's have a look over the next. So over the next four centuries, brothers controlled countries in Europe and plundered the planet. So that's where we're up to. It's just started to basically go everywhere. Then we know about Cecil Rhodes and how he plundered all the planets and the mines. That was when this was happening. And so they destroyed the knowledge of the tribes, which we know they did with the Library of Alexandria. Same thing, same cult. The Romans did it then. It was a Roman Empire. We still got the Roman Empire here today. It's just called the corporation. It's the same thing.
And I would suggest that they're destroying the Temple of the Library of Alexandria right now, too, with trying to destroy information, ban it, suppress it, make it, you know.
Yep, online. They just get doing exactly the same thing. It's bit burning instead of book burning. So Jonestown, Virginia was the first English settlement in the early 17th century in America. So Jonestown, Virginia. Virginia is another name for the Virgin Mary, obviously another name for Queen Semiramis, which is your Statue of Liberty, or Isis, Statue of Liberty. Same thing, same. And Sol Invictus is in there somewhere as well. They've mixed them all together, but Queen Semiramis and Isis is your goddess queen, which is really the goddess Ninkasag of the Anunnaki, fables. I'm not saying they're true, but fables of the Virgin Mother who had the first human born to them, but not through having it off, quite frankly. The American War of Independence, Francis Bacon wrote The New Atlantis in 1607, and he talked about an invisible college would dictate events, and that's what you've got now, an invisible college, an invisible corporation. Benjamin Franklin was a Freemason, and he's possibly an agent of British intelligence. Franklin printed the first Freemasonic document article in his paper, the Pennsylvania Gazette. So he was blatantly a Freemason. First Freemasonic lodge was in the US, was in Philadelphia, sorry. Philadelphia hosts the Liberty Bell, which is Bel, the sun god of the Aryans. The symbology is absolutely everywhere. Franklin was a member of a group that helped organize the French Revolution. Franklin was also in the Hellfire Club. And people haven't heard for the Hellfire Club. Go and have a look into that. It's a satanic club. Prince of Wales at the time was there. The London mayor was there. So there's your connection through the Hellfire Club was your connection and Satanism to both sides of what was going on here. So you've got the British apparently fighting the Americans for independence. They want the inner independence, but they're both funding on the both sides, like they always are in World War One and World War Two, by the same bloodlines, the same Babylonian bloodlines, these black nobility bloodlines that go back into things that I've never heard of. I'm sure there's far more I'm missing out here. The British chose to lose the war, chose controlled through the Freemason Lodge on both sides. They put purposely inept people like the Earl of Sandwich in there, which is makes me laugh because it's a ridiculous name. First Lord Admiral is in charge of the naval British Navy against the American colonies. He was just crap. They're doing what they did with Joe Biden. They're putting some crap in there to purposely cock it all up. The statue of Hippocrates, the green god of secrecy, was found on the premises of the Hellfire Club. Now, this is where you see, and I won't do it because they'll just freeze frame it, all people like the people, actors and film stars and actors doing the shush sign, the finger to the mouth. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Harpocrates. Mm-hmm. Can't pronounce that. Which is a bit like hypocrites, Harpocrates. I think
perfect for Hollywood.
Yeah, I think that's where hypocrites come from. I could be wrong, but Harpocrates is spelled Harpocrates. And that's the god of secrecy. And that was found outside the Hellfire Club and various other places. And if you look at that up, that's why they do that symbol. It's the shush symbol. It's a Hellfire Club, which was another version of that. So Franklin was part of that. So it was Franklin and Dashwood. So Sir Francis Dashwood, and he lived in West Wickham in London. And from both sides, they coordinated through the Freemason. This is according to the research, by the way. Yep. Always do your own research. Both sides of this war of independence. And what was supposed to happen and what did happen is the British lost, and they did lose, but it was orchestrated to lose. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is pull the funding out of one side. You do, and then they lose because they don't have the money to be able to fund it. It's not hard if you're funding both sides. So they lost, and it isn't about a winner and a loser when it's being controlled. It's everybody's losing. Both sides are losing because innocent people are dying for a cause they think they're fighting for when they're not. Everybody loses in a war.
Yeah.
There is no winners. There are no winners other than the people that are funding it. So the War of Independence broke out in 1775, and it was triggered by high taxation on the colonies from the British Empire. Higher taxes and the Brotherhood in the US stirred up the rebellion. Well, we're seeing that everywhere now. They go in there, Asian provocateurs, and make a mess, and they bring down a regime change. That's the word we use, yeah. I suppose, now. It came to head with the Tea Act and the Boston Tea Party, which was ridiculous when you look at what it was. It was about them not having to pay tax on the tea they didn't want, which is obviously not really what it's about. And they had a bunch of Templars go in there dressed as Native Americans, pretend to steal it all, when it was just nonsense. It's just stuff to put in the papers. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it was orchestrated again. So that's what kicked it all off. So then they came to the Declaration of Independence, and I think it was 1776. That's when they signed the Declaration of Independence, and they were 50 of the 56 were definitely Freemasons. Only one definitely wasn't. I mean, you tell me how independent that is.
Yeah.
In 1783, September the 3rd, the colonies were reorganized. So that's when it started, it officially started. So it was a little bit later, but they weren't reorganized. They were rebranded into the United States. From the Virginia Company. And that's just where it gets a bit confusing. This is The Biggest Secret by David Icke. And this is one of the best books I think you can read on this subject. But there are loads of great ones out there as well. For the British Empire, for the Crown stuff, Dean Henderson's is fantastic.
Dean's great.
So this is what David writes in The Biggest Secret. So this is decades old now. So he says, now get this, all of the above still applies today, which he's talking about the way that the British Empire still runs the place. Of the original 13, again, American colonies were one. So it's 13, the 13th pillar that Diana apparently crashed into.
Yep.
Won their independence, and an independent country was formed after 1783. The Virginia Company simply changed its name to the United States. You see, there were two USAs, or rather a USA, capital letters, like we do on our birth certificate, and a USA, which is the U and the S are small letters. So there's two United States. The United States of America with the lowercase, so the little U and the little S, are the lands of the various states. That's what most people think of the United States. These lands, as we've seen, are still owned by the British Crown and the head of the old Virginia Company. Although there is something else to add to that, and I'll come up to that later. Then there is the United States with the capital and the capital U and the capital S. So again, make it clear, you've got the USA, all capital letters, and then you've got the USA, small U, small S. Two different things. They're two different corporations. But so that is the 68 square miles lands east of Potomac River, on which the federal capital, Washington, D.C., and the District of Columbia is built. So these are two different things, but they're both owned and run through the Crown corporations. So you've got a split there. This is what David Icke, his research says, by the way. So also go and do your own research, but this is the most in-depth I've found. The United States is not a country, it's a corporation owned by the same brotherhood bloodlines who owned the Virginia Company, because the USA is the Virginia Company.
Damn.
Still today. It's still the Virginia Company today. And that's why the Freemasons have been orchestrating it from the left to the center. So it's the Rockefellers that decide who your president is. And now they want one who's incapable because they want to control demolition the United States, like my friend Charlie Robinson tells you all the time. It's the controlled demolition. They're trying to bring it down. No,
Trump's coming back. He's going to save us all.
Well, he'll only come back if the Rothschilds tell him to, because he was bailed out of them by Wilbur Ross in the 1990s. So
there he was. Yeah, the head of bankruptcy for Rothschild Limited, right?
Wilbur Ross. It blows my mind. It's not hard to find this stuff. I'm no genius in the slightest, obviously, the way I fumbled through all of that lot. But it's not hard to find this stuff. Donald Trump, also a relative of Hillary Clinton, distant relative. He was bailed out by the Rothschilds in the early 1990s. They just talk shit. It's just ridiculous. He has to go over and answer to the Queen. So I was there when he came over a few years back.
And I was there too.
Filming that. Were you there? I was filming that day.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed you. I must have been not far from you, because I was filming a documentary about something completely, well, not actually completely different, but it involved that.
That was the first week of June in 2019.
Sounds right. Yeah. Sounds right. Yeah. I was doing a documentary filming in all the crowds and stuff. So I was there. He had to come over because he's a servant of the Crown. So he was coming over to meet his boss, basically. Now, that's where we're at there. So the Virginia Company is still there. It's run by the Crown. It's run by the Crown.
Now, do you think he knows this? You know, like, at what level do these people, like, how
if
high
I know this, then they know this. If I know this, then they know this. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm some bloke sitting in his conservatory. I can read this stuff. They know this. And I'm sure there's a lot more things going on than I know. I'm always aware. Wisdom is knowing what you don't know.
Yeah.
It's knowing that you don't. Yeah.
Knowing how little we actually know about all this stuff. I'm always fascinated.
Fascinated by it, but I'm not saying I know any of this is 100% true, because I'm reading it from other people's research. So please do your own research.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating. And it does appear to be that there is a corporation, from my research of like 10 odd years now. But it doesn't end there, because the Crown answer to, I think you probably guessed who it answered to, the Vatican.
Yeah.
So the Vatican, who do they answer to? And that's kind of where most people get to. And that's where I've kind of got to. You've got different offshoots. You've got apparently conflicting elements within the Vatican trying to take it on, but the Vatican is just the Church of Babylon relocated. And so
who's the black pope? We hear about this.
There's a gray pope as well apparently.
Wow.
Apparently it's three of them. Yeah, it's a gray pope, black pope, and a white pope.
A gray pope, a white pope, and a black pope walk into a bar. This is the bartender.
You think, look, they lived for about 80 years, and you just think, I understand all this, but what's the point? What's the stress? Do you know what I mean? I would like, fuck it. Like, you just must be thinking, if you're there, and you're just thinking, this ain't worth it. Like, it's continuous stress. I would rather, like, can't I just go and work at, like, an Aldi garage or something? Yeah. You know what I mean? What is the point of spending your life pissing on people?
I don't know. I don't understand it.
I can't wrap my head around
that mentality of wanting to control other people and murder other people and do all this diabolical stuff. I can't understand it. But I imagine that they can. I imagine that if you're born into this, It's like you might as well be born on a different planet, because your value system is totally upside down. The things that you find important to, you know, for them to do wouldn't be important to us. The things that we worry about, they'll never worry about. And so it's got to be like an upside down existence. And I don't know that it would be one that I would ever want, you know, to have that sort of, I don't know, to be in that, or to be born into it too. Like a part of it, like we talked about Harry and everything. Like there is a part of me, like these guys are cartoonish or anything, but there is a part of me that feels kind of bad for them, because it's like, I know they've got all the money in the world. And when you're broke and you have no money, seeing somebody that's got all the money, it's hard to feel sorry for them. But Jimmy fucking Savile was like your uncle. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, you don't wish that on anybody. You know, there's some bad stuff these people had to go through. And I'm not even going to pretend to know what Harry experienced or what he saw or what that trauma of, you know, knowing that pretty sure my dad had my mom whacked. Nothing's ever going to happen. I'm not allowed to talk about that. I've got this new girlfriend who winds up becoming my wife. They don't really care for her. We saw what they did to my mom. It's reasonable that they might want to do that to her. You know, like I goof on these guys because they're cartoon characters, but there are, you know, I wouldn't want to be Harry. Fuck.
Harry and William, it could end with both of them, because they know their mum was clearly killed. If she hit the 13th pillar in a tunnel built on ground that was a sacrificial ground to the goddess Diana, which is another version of the Semiramis Isis god, which is another Virgin Mary. The cult even put the eternal flame where she was died. They did the same to JFK. They put the eternal flame there. What is Semiramis Isis holding her hand? Eternal flame. It's a cult. And they know this. Of course they do. Because if I know this, they know this. And I wouldn't want to be them. I do feel for Harry and William, because they're born into this. Charles was possibly abused by Lord Mountbatten.
Of course.
You've got to think he's been abused. If they're abused all their life, this is intergenerational abuse. You have to feel sorry for all of them in a way, because it's like, Harry's trying to maybe get out of it. You don't know. Maybe he's thinking, I can't do anything about it. I can't stop it. No one's going to believe me, but I can distance myself. Maybe that's the case. None of us is ever going to know. These people aren't people. I always try and look at this. These were babies at one point. These were crawling around on the floor, babies, shitting themselves, babies. They needed their mum. They needed a hug. They needed some love. They needed to be taken care of. They're human, mostly. That can't be forgotten. Something happened.
Yeah.
We don't get out of this by just going, everybody, they're evil. We get out of this by going, well, I've got a technique when I do interviews. I said you can draw out the devil in someone with the questioning, or the divine in someone with the questioning, because it's in either of us. If I question you and I harass you in an interview, you're going to act like an asshole because I'm pushing you. But if I make sure I listen to you and try and give you space to tell your piece, and you feel like you're being heard, no matter who you are, you're going to bring out the best of you.
Yeah.
So it's down to us to bring it out in each other. You can't control what someone's doing, but you can control the way you try and bring out someone. So if you want to, like Piers Morgan is there to bring out the devil in his interviewees. That's what he does. That's what he's chose to do. My technique is to try and bring out the person, the divine in them. I don't like that word, divine. I had another word, but I couldn't think of another D. And you're bringing out the best of them.
Yeah.
Because they just want to be heard. So these people, my point is, I suppose, is that these people are still hurting children. Not they are hurt children. They're children that are hurt, and they're passing it down the line. But when does the technique of calling them evil and devils and that stop? Yes, what they're doing is disgusting. They need to be held accountable.
Well, they say that
hurt people,
right? And so we know that there's a between the rituals and all of this. You're in a dark place. Obviously, we know about Lord Mountbatten. We know about Jimmy Savile. We know about all of these pedophiles. They're just surrounded by pedophiles. I don't know anybody who's a pedophile. I mean, as far as I know, I don't know anybody who's a pedophile, but I can't, rattle off a list of all of the people that have been close to me my whole life, and if they were all pedophiles, I'd be fucked up myself.
Of course you would. Yeah. But they look for those people. And this is what the system's built on. The beast system's already there. The beast system is what we all try and function in. The system is the beast system. People are waiting for the stuff that's already there. And that's what I find really sad about this conspiracy research. And I don't know about you, is that it's not going to happen. It's happened. We're trying to stop it carrying on.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is not, it's not new. It's been going on a while. It's new to us if we discover it or we read about it and we go, oh my God, look at what they're doing here. And it's like, this is what they've always done. They're just doing, maybe it's updated for modern times. It's modern techniques, but they're lying in the media to control the people. It's like, they've been lying in the media to control people since the media was created as a form of control over the people.
What's religion? Levites used to do it. The people couldn't read. So what did they do? They went to the Levites. And the Levites pretended they just made it up. Well, didn't make it up. They were told what to tell the people it said in the book, The Common Man. So that was the same. And also, let's go to the Pope, because the Pope's the only one who's got the left ear of God. He'll just tell you what he wants you to hear. It's just the same shit over and over and over and over again. And it's all just thrashing around. The Pope was a baby once in a nappy, needed his bum changed. They're just people. Thrashing around, not knowing what the hell's going on.
I don't know about that. That Pope Benedict might not have been
a person. Maybe he was. Yeah, maybe he's a bit person. He's a bit part. Yeah. Well, maybe there is. I'm not even ruling that out. Look at how many stars are in the sky. We don't even know if they're real. We don't even know if the moon's real. We don't know what's going on. No wonder we're all fucking insane, because I think I said this to you last time. It's like waking up on an aeroplane. You don't know how you got on there. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're landing. And the pilot won't speak to you. And you're like, Jesus, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. And that's what you're trying. That's life, basically.
And the food sucks.
But the waitresses are all right. You've got something to keep your mind busy.
I just want to recline my seat, and the asshole behind me won't stop kicking it.
So I'll squash the kid behind you. Yeah. Right. That's all you'll do. Imagine that, though. But that's what it's like. So no wonder we're all insane or all mad.
It's very disorienting. Yeah, for sure. When you look up and you go, oh, well, there's the moon as an example. I've got a book on my bookshelf called Who Built the Moon?
I've got that. It's brilliant. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You read that and you go, you read this book and you go, oh shit, I'm not even. David's talking to Credo Mutwa, talking about a time before the moon. And you go, you're going, okay, wait a second. What's happening here? Was that thing always in the sky above us, or is this some sort of new thing that was brought in to stabilize the planet? I mean, why are we,
insane when you start to pick it apart. Like, before the moon was put there, Saturn was the original sun, so I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying this is the research.
This is the theory, yeah.
Again, I'm not saying any of this is true, because I'm just a person looking at stuff like you do, and I'd never claim to be any more knowledgeable than anyone else.
You don't have the ear of God?
No, I don't. I'll just blow hot air up his ass, apparently. That's all I end up doing. So apparently before the moon was there, the original sun was Saturn. Didn't have the rings around it. This is all the Jupiter, and you see some of this in the god myths and the mythologies and the Greek mythologies. The original sun was Saturn, and there was a purple haze over the world, and everything was a lot flourished because of the haze, the water, the continuous water, like the fog. This purple haze is what's symbolic in the Freemasons, with the purple of the Freemasons, but also the purple blood of the royals, which is a bluish, reddish blood, blue bloods. So it's all there to have a look at, but it could be nonsense. And I don't know. We don't know. We weren't there. It's just as simple as that. But it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's all so fascinating.
I'm on this journey. I don't expect to ever reach the final destination where it's like, okay, well, you figured it all out. I'm still working on it. I got a lot I don't know. I don't know anything. To be fair, I think I do, and I have a pretty good idea, and I have a rough draft of what I think is going on, but there's a lot of holes that need to be filled in, and I'm not going to pretend like I have the answers to it, but I'll just tell you what, I do like the mystery of trying to figure it out. And I don't have any sort of unrealistic expectations that I'm going to figure it out. But I like the search. And I like to try and understand it. And I like to try out these ideas of, you know, listen, like as you, since we mentioned Saturn or Jupiter and whatever, you've got, you know, talk about crazy ideas. You get Ingo Swann remote viewing Jupiter in advance of the Voyager probes going, and he's saying there's a ring around it. And they're going, no, 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 you're looking at Saturn. He's going, I know what Saturn is. I'm telling you, there's a ring around Jupiter. And then the probes get there and there's a ring around Jupiter. And you go, how the fuck does this guy know this? And you go, I don't know, because he's tapped into something that we don't understand, you know, remote viewing and things like that. So if remote viewing is a real thing, and it is a real thing, then that just, then it's like, okay, well then by definition, I know nothing. If I can't understand remote viewing and I can't do that, and that's a thing that's real, and you can see things where your body isn't, I'm at a severe disadvantage trying to figure out anything.
I've had this thought before. I mean, I love these conversations because this is what children, this is the childlike element of you guys. The wonder of the world is still there.
Yeah.
The wonder lost, you lost the wonder because, or not you, but most people lost the wonder because they went to work and forgot. But this world is incredibly mad and weird and funny. And it still is, and even worse now because it's even gone to the surface. But as you say there, like, we know so little about, but what is the fascination with it? You get told you're stupid or you're a conspiracy theorist or you're mad if you look into things that you wouldn't be called that if you were a child. So you look in with a childlike mind and a childlike heart, I suppose, than mind, and with the sensibility to go, I'll never find any answers here. None of this is true, but enjoy it. Like, we don't know if it's true, and you never will. I don't think you ever will. I mean, and even if you did, even if someone come down and told you that all this is true, would you believe them?
Nope.
So does it matter?
Nope.
Because you just go, well, no, he's just trying to have one on me. That God guy, come down here, or woman, or whatever he identifies as.
Non-binary.
A non-binary God. And he goes, no, it's all true. It's all that. Yeah, there's reptilians everywhere, and all little grey men, and yeah, all of this bloodline thing is true. And you go, hang on a minute.
This might be part of the operation.
This might be part of it. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but, and then you see, you fucking know. You don't fucking know. I've had this thing about near-death experiences. How do you know when you go, you have a near-death experience? And I've had a couple, but I was too young to, I can't remember them. I've died a few times on the operating table.
When you were a kid, you had health issues and kept you in the hospital for a long, long time.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But I mean, I remember a few little bits here, like floating up and seeing myself down there. But how do I know
I wasn't hallucinating?
But how do I know that I wasn't hallucinating? I don't know. But I find it all really funny. And that's the best way. And when I lose my sense of humor, which is sense of human, once I lose my, then I start to take everything seriously and get really like ill with this stuff. And I really do think, and we talk about this, me and Richard Grannon, a friend of mine, talk about the importance of taking care of your mental health when you look into this stuff. Because look at it, find it fascinating, but leave it. It could be bollocks. And not enough conspiracy theorists, I think, kind of even contemplate the fact that it doesn't mean anything. You're not a less of a person if you got things wrong, or you thought you were right, or it was all total nonsense. Did you enjoy it, and did you treat people well?
Yeah.
Along the road, were you nice and kind to decent to people, or did you try and hear them out why they believe this and why that? How did you behave? Goodwill, good thought, good action. It's not about that. It's not about, well, there is no destination with this stuff. These are people doing shit for thousands of years and other shit, and then we're doing it. It's like, but we're looking for a divine answer. And it's like,
I can understand why some people just go, I'm never going to figure it out. I'm never going to understand it. I'm not even, what's the point? Why get it? I understand that.
There isn't any point. It's just fun.
It's interesting to try and know. I think it's like you're trying to get your bearings. And it's like, I'm just trying to figure out where I am. Am I on a spinning ball, or am I on a flat plane, or am I on some sort of thing that beyond the ice wall, there's additional places, and that's, you know, where the aliens or the UFOs are coming from? Like, what the fuck? I'm just trying to get my senses. And then I go and do ayahuasca with a bunch of shaman, and this guy's blowing smoke in my face, and I'm tripping out and having this experience, and I'm going, am I even who am I? Am I just some imaginary thing that's occupied this body? Like what happens to, you know, so I don't know. I don't know how it all ends. I don't know how it all works. I have no more information about this than anybody else. But I like the adventure. I like the journey. I like trying to figure it out. I like trying to do this. And I like what you guys are doing over at Iconic. I like what your shows are doing. I like that you get out there. You guys actually get out there, like talk about walking around trying to figure out what's going on. You guys actually do the show called The Walk, where Garrett's out there walking around.
It's a good show, actually. It's one of these things that it's like a hidden history show, but we did Scotland, we've done Wales, and we've done obviously England. But we just go and find some weird stories. So weird weekends. One of the best ones we did on this series was the Loch Ness guy who's lived there for 30 plus years on the side of the Loch looking for Nessie. It was incredible.
Is this guy for 30 years?
Completely just like normal. He's just a bloke sitting there. And I just found him so fascinating because he had the courage to go and do it. And it's like, he's having an adventure. He's having the same adventure he wanted as a kid. And then we're turning up with cameras, having an adventure filming his adventure. And we're like, we're playing here. Like, and we forget that sometimes. And I was like, this is fascinating. So sometimes I just sit back and go, this is mental, total mental. So the series is myself and Gareth Ike, David's oldest son. And we just go on adventures and we film it. And it's really weird. And it's proper, like, if you like Top Gear, that sort of sense of humor, that, or the What If podcast that we do, you'll like this. And it's really well shot. The guys that shoot it and film it, I edit most of it. The team we've got there producing it now, it doesn't look amateur. It's like something you would see on Channel 4 now, and really proud of it, actually. It's come a long way. And Gareth's a very, very good presenter, really funny. And we've got a good banter, me and him as well. And it works really well where we wind each other up. And there's just something very special there that you don't get in conspiracy circles. There's not enough humor about it.
The podcast you guys do, WTAF, is hysterical. It's like if someone says, well, you're going to do a show, what are you going to do it about? It's like the Seinfeld thing. It's a show about nothing, right? Yeah. Like what's the show about? The show is the two of you, and the two of you have this chemistry that really works. It's hard to measure. It's impossible. You know, you'd have to have a bunch of castings and finally, well, you talk to that guy and see how it works. The two of you guys have a chemistry that works, and and of course, for those people that have want to go back, there are a couple, I don't know, 50 episodes or so, maybe, I don't know what the number is, but I had both of you guys on last time. Mm. And I think people, if you watch that episode where both of you are on, I think people will be like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, those guys are fun together. You're both fun individually, but you put you together and it's like a force multiplier where you're like, you're funny, but you play off each other, and you guys have been comfortable. You've been around each other enough to know what the other one's about to say. And then it's almost kind of written in your face when you're starting to laugh in advance of him saying something. I know where you're going. I've been accused of having a British sense of humor. I take that as a compliment, by the way, but it's because I think I grew up watching Benny Hill and Fawlty Towers and shit like that, you know, and getting that, you know, that's that sort of sense of, so when I see it with you guys, I connect to it and it cracks me up. So I think people should at least, you know, try it out, see what you think. I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah. We've had some really nice people, especially we started in lockdown of things. So we've been doing about 2.5 years now, and every other week. And there's a video version out on Iconic, which is free, iconic.com, and which you can see for free. And there's the audio version out on Spotify and iTunes. Just this WTAF is what the actual F. And it's just what we do is we find 6 or 7 moments in the last 2 weeks that made us go, what the actual F, really funny, weird stuff. And just it's 10 to a dozen now. Most of it's transgender or Biden.
Biden.
Or Trident, yeah. And it's Trident. That would be great, wouldn't it? You can come out with a thing. I've lost my train of thought, but it was very, really good. It was very weird between me and Gaz because we never knew each other. We've only known each other about 6 years now, maybe 7, 6 years. but we grew up hundreds of miles apart. He's on the Isle of Wight. I was in Norfolk. You're talking a good, I don't know, I'm terrible at geography, but it's a long way. He's completely on a different island, obviously. And we had exactly the same sense of humor. We found the world really, really weird. We just walked around as well going, this is mental, and never lost that. And we found everything really stupidly funny. And we just laugh at the same madness of it all. Like, doing this for a living is mental. Like, yes. This is mad. But we never forget that. And obviously the more you get to work with someone, the more you get to know them, you get recurring jokes that just make you laugh. And it only gets better when you find someone like that, when you find someone you can gel with, like I'm lucky enough to gel with Gareth with. And that is just natural. That's not forced at all. You are so lucky to find someone you can do a podcast with where you literally, it's not the biggest podcast in the world, but we've only had like 60 episodes, I think, over 2 years, and it's 110,000 listens, downloads, of the podcast. And the video version is thousands more, tens of thousands more. So it's done really well, but it helped people through lockdown, which was really nice here, because the amount of messages we got was, you guys helped us through lockdown. Your podcast has made us laugh every week and made us feel like we weren't going mad because you guys would comment on it. And that was the nicest thing. And we've just carried it on. And we're going to do a live shows on stage. We're taking what's asked from the audience, and we're going to expand it out a lot. We're working on a sketch, like a quiz show. We've done a pilot for, which is really funny, which is called WhatsApp in our brain fog, where we try and figure out what it's just like a quiz show, but it's brain fog. Whereas I ask him questions and he asks me questions. It's funny. So you could do it. I'm really proud of it, because it doesn't even cost anything to make. You just sit up the microphone and talk nonsense. It doesn't look great, but it does the trick.
You guys probably feel guilty having so much fun doing that show.
Yeah, we love that show. Yeah, that helps us every 2 weeks. Yeah, actually, just because you get into this stuff, as I said, that you do, and you've got your vast knowledge of other things that I've got no knowledge of, and I've got both of two of your books here. So I look at your stuff and I read your stuff, and we share information around. But you get stuck if you don't have something funny to look at and to someone to laugh at it with.
And I think that's why I connected as much as I did, as quickly as I did with you, because you also have, we both have this similar ability to sort of get the serious component out of this, like these stories, like, okay, this is serious and it's going to impact people. And so we have to take a serious, but still reserve the right to laugh at the preposterous nature of all this stuff and to point out the rather obvious, you know, failings of the people trying to present this as normal, you know, trying to stand up there and tell you, well, this is the reality of the situation. We're going to tell you what to do. And it's like, I know who you are, you know, just to be able to goof on these people, it takes their power away from them. You know, it's disempowering when people are mocking you for, rightly mocking you for this, the insane shit that you've been doing. It's great. And I love that. I love that approach. I think that shows that you do, movies that you make, you've made plenty of movies too, and hopefully you'll make more. They do a very good job of infusing your sense of humor onto topics that, let's be honest, aren't always that funny. And are not, very serious. No, you can find a way to sort of make.
How can you not laugh at the absurdity of the British royal family having the world's most prolific paedophile hanging around them, and still telling me that they didn't know? Fuck off! I knew.
Right.
Of course they did. That's absurd. That's funny to me. That's just funny, and it's like you laugh at what you laugh. It's just so fucking stupid. That it's funny. And if you want to cognitively leapfrog that, you're doing it on purpose, Piers Morgan. And it's just fucking stupid. So if you can't laugh at it. I mean, if you it's just mental. It's mental. He was shagging dead people.
He was. Jimmy Savile was a necrophiliac. And we are supposed to pretend
that's the proper term for it. Yeah.
That he was all about charity. He's so giving. He was giving to dead people. He was giving them hot beef injection.
Oh, what did he receive back? Absolutely nothing. No.
eternal damnation, I hope. Well, fuck, I don't know. I
mean, if I get up there and Jimmy's there, I'll be like, fucking hell.
Yeah, you've made a serious vocational error. If you get up to the pearly gates and Jimmy Savile's got the guest list, you're in trouble.
You know what? Hang on, now then, fuck off. I'm going back down there. Right. Jingle, jingle, you want.
Yeah, that's Rich Willett, everybody. He is the absolute best. You can catch him at over at Iconic. Where's the best place for people to find you, check out your work, and connect with you?
Everything's on iconic.com pretty much now. And obviously the WhatsApp podcast, you can get on Spotify, iTunes, and that's free to download every couple of weeks. So just please go and check that out. That'd be great if you leave us a review. And I have got a YouTube channel just about still, and it's Richard Willett Presents. And you'll find just clips of stuff that I'm doing on there. But most of it's Iconic and at Rich on Twitter.
Yes, where you can find Rich just absolutely berating Piers Morgan on a daily basis, which he deserves. Moment,
I've got Andrew Tate now, so I've moved on.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. That'll be great. Please screenshot all those interactions. Rich, you're the best. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming in and explaining all this insanity to us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Well, we appreciate you. And if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right this second of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.